Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. We are walking on holy ground. There's no two ways about it. Our Lord and our Savior, He shows up out here real often. We are so grateful for the King, because without Jesus, you can do nothing. With Jesus, nothing's impossible. Oh, and we believe that with all our heart at this place. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now then, how many of you like to hear testimonies? Everybody likes to hear a good testimony. Well, we've got one today. I've got one all the way from Florida. All the way from Florida. Why don't you come up? Y'all all want to come up as a family or just a little girl? Anna. Let her come up here and tell us what Jesus, since Jesus did something for you, you tell us what Jesus done for you. What was the problem with you before?
I used to have seizures when I was...
Did you notice what she said? Did y'all hear what she said? You didn't hear that, did you? See, I didn't think so. She's got such a lovely little quiet voice. Only I heard that. But everybody needs to hear what she... Say that real loud.
I used to have seizures.
I used to have seizures. Did you hear that? How many years did you have those?
About 5.5 years.
5.5 years. And then what happened?
We went to a lot of prayer meetings and stuff and had people pray for me, and I got delivered.
Amen. So you haven't had a seizure in how long now?
About almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Oh, do we serve an awesome Jesus? Is he awesome or is he awesome?
He's awesome.
How old are you, young lady?
I'm 12.
How old?
12.
12. 12 years old. Praise the Lord. She's a beautiful little 12-year-old, isn't she? Is that it? Huh? Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a praise the Lord. God is so good. Wow. She hasn't had a seizure now in quite a while. Praise the Lord. But she'd had them for 5 years, you said, right? Is that what you said? Five and a half years she'd had them. And we prayed for that little girl, and that little girl don't have seizures no more. You know, it is amazing what God has done for us, and most of us don't know it. You know, we spend too much time studying the world and not enough time spending with Jesus, right? And if you don't spend time with Jesus, you'll never learn what Jesus has done for you. But praise God, at least if you do go to church, when you're at this church, I try to teach you what God has done for you. And of course, we're going to talk about that today in Galatians. Is there anybody else got another testimony? Anybody got one? Yo, you got one too, Kim? Wow, praise the Lord. Okay.
Well, my wonderful son, who's 9 years old, he was one of the shofar blowers, he lost my husband's keys. And he looked everywhere. My husband, Scott, looked over all night, about 3 hours, trying to find his keys. And I said, okay. I didn't know about it until the next morning. So I said, well, Tristan, I said, where did you put Daddy's keys? He had no clue. They'd been working out on our deck, had no idea where he put the keys. And I said, well, I know. Who knows where the keys are?
You mean it's time to pray?
It's time to pray. I said, you didn't pray last night?
Oh, my goodness.
He said, well, I did, but I didn't get an answer. And I'm like, well, okay. I said, okay, well, we're going to pray anyway. So we did. And he looked around, and still, but another, what, 2 hours, and I'm saying, Lord, one last time, I know you know where those keys are. And I said, you know, they're here. I know they're here. I said, please guide me where the keys are, because obviously he couldn't find them, whatever. So I was walking through our little classroom, and I stopped, and the Lord said, well, I'm sorry, I need to back up. He kept telling me, container. After I prayed, he said the word container. And so I was thinking garbage can, because we had a garbage can out there. So they went through all the garbage and everything. And the Lord kept saying, container. I'm like, okay, container. And I said, that's when I said, Lord, I don't understand. Help me here. Holy Spirit, help me. What is this container that you're telling me to find? And I walked in the room, and there was a container. Looked down. He said, blue. Because I'm dense, okay? So, blue container was a toolbox. It was a little box they use for their cars. And I opened it up. There was the keys.
Hey, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anybody else before we go on here? No more testimonies. Okay, praise the Lord. When I hear one about keys like that, there was a man that he came in contact with our ministry several years ago. We were up in the north teaching up there, and his mother-in-law, whenever God had a plan for this man, God does everything wonderfully. I was teaching, and Cheryl was with me, and I'll never forget that because that was one of the first times she'd went with me. We went to a camp, and she went with all of her fancy dresses and high heels and all those stuff. And we got up there, and they had rocks this big all over. Well, no such thing as smooth to walk on. So, I mean, she, you know, when it says camp, you know, she's supposed to have a pair of blue jeans, you know, and a pair of flats, you know, but that's not the way she went. She went dressed like she is today. And it wasn't fit for that, but I got her around. Almost had to carry her everywhere I went, but I got her around. But anyway, I was preaching in this place, and this couple came in, and this older woman was sitting there, and I had no idea who none of these people are. I've never seen any of them. It's my first time ever to be in that place. And I'm there teaching, and all of a sudden the Lord just stops me. He says, "Son, you see that woman right there?" I said, "Lord, that older woman sitting on the front?" "Yes." He said, "I want to heal her right now. Call her up here." So I go over there and I say, "Ma'am, what's wrong with you?" I don't know what's wrong with her. And she begins to tell me all the things that's wrong with her. I said, "Well, can I just pray for you?" And I said, "The Lord just told me he wants to heal you." And so she said, "Well, of course." And so I just reached over and laid my hands on her and prayed for her. And then I just said, "Thank you, Lord." And I went back up and started the teaching again. That's all we did. But you know, when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. You know, because you don't have any. Well, that evening when they came back, his mother-in-law came back almost dancing in the spirit. She was completely healed. I mean, she was walking. She would come in with a cane like this, you know. And when she come back that night, boy, she didn't have no cane. She was just walking, running, playing, having a good time. Well, the man told me, he said, "I want to walk like that. I want to see God do those kind of things when I pray." And I said, "Well, you know, get in the Word." And so, man, he got a whole bunch of my CDs and DVDs and started listening to them. Actually, I guess it was cassettes back in those days. I don't know. But anyway, he started listening. And I told him, I said, "You have to..." He said, "This is just not working for me." I said, "It's not working for you because you're not doing anything in faith." I said, "Faith is the secret." I said, "You have to do things in faith." He said, "Well, Thurman, I have repented of every sin, known and unknown." I said, "Well, I don't doubt that." I said, "When I met you, I thought you were a holy person." I said, I believe that God has a plan for your life. That's why he healed your mother-in-law, so you would see his power, because I don't think this man had ever seen a miracle in his life. And when he saw his mother-in-law get healed, now then he wants to live there. He wants to be able to pray for people and see his prayers answered. I told him, I said, "You have to do things in faith." I said, "Quote the Word of God and then believe it's done." I said, "That's what you got to do." He was trying to tell his daughter about these things and his wife. But his daughter thought Daddy had stepped off of a left side of the moon, you know. Daddy's, you know, is something a little funny. Ever since Daddy met this crazy guy from Texas, you know, he's got a little problem here thinking he can pray and get God to do things. And so one day, I mean, in all of his workings with her, she just don't believe. And so I guess I should say she's kind of like a normal Christian. That's kind of the way we are, isn't it? We don't believe God's promises. I've been there. I can associate with them because I've been there and done that. So anyway, one day, she called her daddy and said, "Daddy, I don't know where I've lost the keys to my car." That's what brought this on, this whole story, the keys. "I have lost the keys to the car, and Dad, I have got to take the kids downtown, and I do not have a clue. I have looked this house upside down, backwards and forwards, and the keys, I cannot find them." He said, "Well, honey, let's pray. God will show me where the keys are." He made a promise to me. He told me I could ask for anything in the name of Jesus, and he will do it for me. "Oh, Dad, you and your crazy stuff." He said, "I'm going to pray, and I'm going to guarantee you God's going to show me where them keys are, honey." Now, do you begin to see a little faith in this daddy? Amen. He's getting it. So he said, "Just hold on a minute. Just don't hang the phone up. Father, in the name of Jesus, show me where the keys are." And immediately, the Lord showed him a vision of a bench in the front yard with the keys laying on the bench. He said, "Honey, I know where the keys are." She said, what do you mean? She said, the Lord just showed me a vision. They're out on the front, out in the front yard on that seat that's out in the front yard. They're laying out there in that seat. She said, Daddy, there is no way my keys could have got from inside this house out there. He said, well, will you just please go look just to, you know, just to make me happy? She said, Dad, the keys ain't out there in the front yard. I'm telling you. He said, honey, I'm telling you, God just showed me those keys are laying on that bench in the front yard. So she said, okay, Dad, I'll go out there. I'll go out there and look. Now, I know there ain't no way those keys can be on that front bench, but I'm going out there and look and said, see, they're not. Dad, they're there. Dad, they really are there. Now, isn't that amazing? See, we don't realize how much God wants to do good things for us. We'll do everything in the world. Now, I know this man here is smiling, so he must be just like me. We do everything in the world except pray. And when it comes to the last straw, that's when we pray. Is that right? Now, why do we do that? Isn't that something? God is sitting there saying, I know what you have need of before you ask me. But you got to ask me because I ain't going to help you until you ask. And I ain't going to do nothing for you until you ask in faith. When you ask in faith, he said, oh, I can help you because I'm a faith God. Is that what he says? Yes, he is a faith God. But that little girl, that changed her life forever. What, honey? Oh, you have a testimony now. Wow. Okay, my honey bunny's got a testimony.
I forgot about it.
She forgot about it. Let me turn the mic on for her. Okay, now we...
Okay, the heat... It's killing the plants. Every day I'm having to water. I'm watering the whole front of the church every day. And every so often, well, Scott helped me clean out some of the flower bed here. And every so often I'll water something really wet, you know, so I can get the weeds out, you know, because they're hard. They're in there pretty good. So I was standing there and I just said, Lord, you need to send somebody to weed this flower bed. All these flower beds out here, you need to send somebody. I said, thank you, Lord. And I didn't pray anything fancy. I just was talking to him. The next day, they came and...
Two men
came and...
Weeded the flower bed.
Weeded the flower, and they... What did they... They yeah. edged it.
Yeah.
Doesn't it look pretty outside? Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, that was wonderful.
You know, somebody would say, that was just a coincidence just because Cheryl asked. No, it wasn't no coincidence. That was not a coincidence. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, that's written in the Word of God. Paul clearly says that. Now then, I'm going to tell you some things today we're going to talk about. Galatians 2:11 is where we're going to start. We're going to go to the end of that chapter, 21. Galatians 2:11 through 21. And then we'll get into Galatians 3. And there is some very, very important things in Galatians. Of course, there's some very, very important things in all of God's Word, you know, but that we need to know. But use the NLT, yeah. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. Now, Paul's got to speak to who? Was Peter one of the favorite apostles? Now, how in the world could an apostle possibly sin? You know, I mean, now, first of all, when you read this, you got to realize for the rest of us, then there's got to be hope then, right? If Paul, the apostle, had to get after the apostle Peter, well, we got two apostles that are trying to correct each other. Then the rest of us, there's got to be hope for us, right? You can't make it without doing some things wrong in life until you really get in the Word of God and really begin to study it. I mean, the more you study God's Word, the more correct you will do things in your life. But God is working on us, trying to make us perfect. And that's what He's doing. He's working. And just like He was here with Peter, Paul, he says, well, he tells us what the problem was. He says in verse 12, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who don't bother with circumcision. But afterwards, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what those legalists would say. Now, are we afraid of what people will say? Oh, yeah, let's just give me a break. If you're afraid of what people's going to say about what you preach, you might as well quit preaching now. Because if you're going to preach the Word of God, you're going to offend some people. You're going to hurt some people. And there's some people ain't going to like you. But I don't care if anybody likes me. I only want to please one. You know who that is? The King. Because when we pray for this little girl, who healed her? The King. If you don't make the King happy when you pray for her, she ain't going to get nothing, is she? So I only want to make one happy, and that's the King. I'll have to tell you, since some of you are brand new here today and have not seen these pictures, I want to tell you this little story again about faith and what it does. You probably didn't notice, but as you walk out that door, right there on the wall, you'll see a bunch of pictures, about six or seven of eight of them, 8 by 10 pictures of a little 6.5, 7-year-old girl, that young girl, like this little girl, and this one said she's 12, but this little girl was 6.5 to 7, and she had awful sores all over her whole body. I mean, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. This little girl, when you go out there and look at those pictures, you'll see she had awful sores, running, oozing sores, all over her arms, all over her face, all over her neck, all over her body, all down her legs and to her feet. And they oozed and run with running, wet pus stuff all the time. She was born like this. And the mother, when the mother called me, she said, I've just heard your story about how you prayed for your granddaughter, Caitlin, and you raised her from the dead. So I know with your faith, if you'll pray for my daughter, she'll be healed. I said, ma'am, that's not the way it works. I said, you got to have faith. But there's another ingredient. I said, it's sin. I said, if the man that you're living with, that you produced this child with, are you married to him? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. She said, we've been married a long time. I said, okay, good. I said, do you have other children? She said, yes. I said, are they sick? No. I said, okay. Somewhere between the last child being born and this one being born, either you or your husband or both of you did something that God doesn't like. Because I said, he struck your child with a curse. That's written in Deuteronomy 28:27. The incurable itch that cannot be healed. Now, how popular do you think I have become all of a sudden with this couple? Not very popular at all. What? You're telling us that we've committed some kind of sin that made our daughter sick? I said, yes, that's what you've done. I said, because I know it's not the little girl's fault, because she was born with the sickness. It wasn't her fault. So it had to be either y'all's fault, or I said, and since it was none of your other children are sick, it's probably not the grandparents' fault. Because if all of your other children had been born with it, then it could have been grandparents or great-grandparents. But I said, since your other children are okay, and this one is born under this curse, it's probably something you or your husband done. I said, so let me send you a bunch of CDs and DVDs, and I want you to listen to them. And then I want you to find your sin. And when you find your sin, I want you to repent of your sin. Then I want you to call me. We'll pray for you. And then the little girl will get healed. As soon as we get rid of the sin issue, because see what they don't realize yet, and we may or may not get to that in Galatians 5 yet, when you sin, you fall from grace. And you're supposed to walk in grace forever as a Christian. You're not supposed to get out of it. But when you sin, you have transgressed the law of God, you're guilty of sin, and the demons of hell have legal right to afflict us and torment us. And that's what they do to us. And the average Christian don't know that. I didn't know it for years. Had no idea that that's what was going on in the spirit world. I sent them a bunch of CDs, and they listened to them for several months. And then they called me and said, my goodness, we found out so many things to sin we didn't even know was sin. You know, there's one thing that really gets all of us. I want to put a sin up there that I bet you there's not anybody in this room that hasn't done this in the last week. Philippians 2:14. I want to put that up on the board. I want you to look at it. I want to see if you think that if you haven't sinned or haven't fell from grace, Philippians 2:14, I want you to see, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing or grumbling and complaining. In everything you do, God told us, no grumbling and complaining. Now, let me see a show of hands. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you have not grumbled and complained not one time this week? Well, I can't raise mine. You see where I'm coming from? You know how easy it is to grumble and complain? Oh, it sure has been awful hot this week. Now, I know none of y'all have done that besides me. It has been hot, has it not? But it is easy to grumble and complain about it, isn't it? But see, there's so many things that are sin. So anyway, they found lots of things that they didn't even know was sin. And so they repented of all of them. And then they called me and said, "We're ready to be prayed for. We have repented of every sin known and unknown." I said, "Okay, we prayed the prayer of faith." I said, "Now then, I've prayed the prayer of faith for your little child. I said, I want you to call me with your praise report. I love to hear praise reports." Well, about 2 months, they called me and said, "She's worse." I said, "Well, we didn't find the sin." You know, now I didn't say this. Well, it wasn't God's will to heal her. That's what so many people say. Well, we prayed, but it wasn't God's will. No, that ain't the case. It's always God's will to heal. It's never, the answer is never no, unless you have committed the sin unto death. And if you are, you ain't going to be in it 7 years like she was. You ain't going to live 7 years if you've committed the sin unto death. You know, so you don't have to worry about that. When you commit the sin unto death, I have known of 24 different men in my life that have committed the sin unto death, and not one single one of them lived more than 24 hours after they committed the sin. Every one of them were stone dead within 24 hours. So, you know, if you come to me complaining, begging, crying, and say, "I committed the sin unto death 5 years ago," I said, it's bunk. You did not commit the sin unto death. God don't let... In fact, two cases in the Word of God, the people that sinned, from the time they committed the sin until God killed them, does anybody even know where it's found? The one man and one woman. In Acts, that's right. In the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold a piece of property, and that day, and they came back to give that money to the Lord, all of it, when they lied. And when Peter said, "Ananias, why have you decided to lie to God? I mean, wasn't that land yours? You could have kept it. You could have sold it for whatever you wanted to. You could have given God whatever you wanted to give him. But you said you sold it and give God all the money." He said, "You lied." He said, "Now, because you lied, they're going to bury you." And bam, Ananias fell stone dead right in the church. 3 hours later, his wife came in, and Peter said, "Oh, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell the land for this much?" And she said, "Yes, that's the price, and we give it all to the Lord." He said, "Why have you two decided to lie to God? Now then, because you have lied, the same men that just walked in the back door that buried your husband is going to take you out and bury you." And she fell dead. And it said, great fear fell upon the church. That would put the fear in all of us, wouldn't it, brother? I'm Acts 5. I am so glad that God is merciful, aren't you? Because if the first time I had done something and not tithed off of it right or whatever, God had killed me, I would have been dead a long time ago. I would never live till now. But God is merciful. Aren't we glad, Bill? Yeah, I know you're glad just like me. I know you have done some dumb things just like I have in your life, and we ain't proud of none of them, are we? But we ain't going to do them no more, are we? No, sir. We know the truth now, so we're not going to do it. So anyway... this little girl, we have not found the sin, and so she's still sick. And so I just keep telling them, you know, keep sending them CDs and DVDs. I said, keep looking for your sin. Find out what it is. A year and a half comes and goes, and we can't find it. Everybody in this ministry center, I mean, everybody has prayed for that little girl. I mean, Rosemary prayed for her, I'm sure. Sharon, I'm sure, prayed for her. I prayed for her, I don't know how many times. Dave prayed for them. We all prayed for that little girl. But she didn't get well. Finally, I just told them one day after a year and a half. I said, "You know, y'all are wasting our time. We're wasting your time." I said, "We got to find that sin that's keeping that little girl sick." So I said, "I want you two, Richard and Sally, I want you two to get on your face." That's a mother and daddy. I said, "I want you two to get on your face before God, and I want Richard to pray every day, the Father, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus, what did we do that made you upset to afflict our daughter with this terrible disease?" Most people have never prayed a prayer like that. You know that? But they did. 2 weeks later, or about 2 weeks later, Sally called me and she said, "Thurman, I heard these two words this morning when I sat up on the side of the bed. Lying and deception." How many of y'all know God don't like lying? Have you read in the book where he says, "And God hates lying"? So then why do we lie? You know, it's obvious that it will do something to you. You know, it could, except for the grace of God, it could bring some kind of sickness upon you when you lie. Because God said, "I hate for my children to lie." He's not talking about the world. He's talking about his church, us. So she said, "Lying and deception." I said, well, Sally, do you know what that means? And she said, yes, I know exactly what that means. She said, when I was 39, my husband was 43. And I went to my husband and told him, I said, honey, my biological clock is ticking and I'm getting older every day. It's not going to be long till I'm going to be too old to bear children. I want one more child before we get too old to have children. And my husband said, absolutely not. I'm already 43 years old, and I don't want a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. You know, now that makes sense to a man, doesn't it? And she said, I promised my husband I would do everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied to him. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I went to him and told him, honey, it must be God's will after all for us to have another baby. Although I've done everything to keep from getting pregnant, I'm pregnant and we're going to have a baby. So it must be God's will. Well, obviously, God wasn't too happy with Sally because he afflicted her little girl with this terrible disease. So I said, have you asked your husband to forgive you? Oh, yes. I said, did he? She said, oh, yes. He forgave me. I said, did you ask the Lord to forgive you? She said, oh, yes. Yes. I said, now then, Sally, we can pray the prayer of faith for your daughter. She has been, now then, the curse that she was under. Now, I don't know whether we're going to get to this or not, but I'm going to put that on the board, Galatians 3:13. I may not get that far, but maybe I will. But anyway, this is a good place to talk about it. Galatians 3:13 and 14. I want you to see what Galatians 3:13 and 14 says. If everybody knew and understood this set of verses, they could get free of anything. Look what it says. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. The King James says he's redeemed you from the curse. Same thing. It means the same thing. If he has rescued you from the curse, then why isn't everybody healed? Because they don't know that verse. They don't know that verse. See, when you got saved, the man or woman or whoever, the preacher or whoever was teaching you about the kingdom of God, when they said that God will forgive you from all sin, we do a pretty good job of convincing people that God forgives us of all sin. So when we get saved, we're washed in the blood and all of our sins are washed away. Right, brother? But we don't ever have somebody tell us at the same time he's redeemed you from the curse. So if you're sick, you don't have to be sick no more. You can be healed too, right now. See, they don't teach that, do they? But if Jesus redeemed us from sin, how many of our sins did he pay for on the cross? All of them. So if he redeemed us from the curse, how many curses did he pay for on the cross? All of them. No difference. The word redeem is only used two times in the whole King James Bible. One of them is for your sin and the other one for your sickness and disease, the curse. But when you got saved, when you were washed in the blood, right there you were made clean and pure and holy from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You see what I mean? You were clean and pure and holy. In other words, he put a white garment on you that's clean. Now then, if we could just keep that thing clean. But what do we do? We're just like a little kid. You can take a little kid and you can take, I mean, I think about Mama up here when Yesha's up here getting her kids ready for church and it's been a nice rain and little John's got his suit on with his boots on and as soon as she opens the door, he runs right out there and stomps in the mud. Now, why in the world do kids do that? You know, Mama's screaming the whole way, no, son, don't step in that water. Don't splash that water all over your fresh, clean clothes I just washed and ironed. Oh, bam, bam, bam. Is that the way we are? What's God telling us to do? Die to sin and have no more sin in our life. What do? We just go out there and just jump in the mud hole and get our white. Is that what we do? Yeah. Why do we do that? I guess because we're just a little bit dumb, reckon? I mean, dumb. I was eat up with it when I was younger. I'm getting a little better as I get older. But when I was young, man, I was eat up with dumb. You know what I mean? You laugh at me like you've been there and done that too, brother. That's the way we are. But Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so I told her, I said, now that you have confessed your sin, And we're going to claim the redemption from the curse. Now then I can pray the prayer of faith for little Jenna. And she said, well, I said, for her healing. She said, I don't want her to be healed. I thought, what? I thought, what have we been working on for a year and a half? She said, now that I've realized it's my sin that made my daughter sick. And all those scars she has all over her body. Little Jenna has clawed, scratched with her fingernails, and she has scars. When you leave today, don't forget to walk it. As you walk right out the door, look straight ahead right there, and you'll see about 8 by 10 pictures of Jenna. And you'll see what she looks like. I said, well, then what do you want to pray for, Sally? She said, since I know it was my fault, I do not want her just to be healed. You've told us over and over, God said in His Word, we can ask Him for anything and He will do it. He didn't say He'd just heal us, did He, brother? God said in His Word, you can ask me for anything and I'll do it. Now, that's a pretty big, wonderful promise, right, brother? So she said, I want to ask the Lord not only to heal my daughter, but I'm going to ask the Lord to give my daughter a brand new coat of skin with no scars. I said, I know the God that can do that. Do we know who that is? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ to do that very thing. And the next 6 pictures as you walk out the door is 6 pictures 2 weeks later after she got healed. She does not have a scar or a mark on her body. Totally, completely restored and made whole. Just like this little girl. We prayed for her and no more seizures, right? See, seizures are terrible, aren't they? They're awful. But you know, you walk holy before God, honey. You keep yourself clean and pure all of your life and walk holy before God and walk in the Word of God. And I'll guarantee you, if you walk in faith, you won't never have another seizure and you won't never have to worry about being sick again. If you walk in faith, you have to claim these promises. What does that say there? Christ has rescued or redeemed us from the curse of pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings He promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. How do you get anything from God? By faith. If you don't come to Him by faith, you can't have it. He will not do it for you without faith. That's like I had a mother come to me here a while back. She said, after I repented of my sins, she said, I had 3 sick children. And she said, one of them was scheduled for surgery. And then they found out the surgery wasn't going to work, so they couldn't do it. It was too far gone. Then she came to me and I told her what her sin was. I'm just talking to her 15 minutes. I found out what her sin was. She wasn't submitting to her husband. That was her sin. See, I know lots of women that don't submit to their husbands. But some of them pay the consequences dearly. This one paid dearly. She had 3 sick children. I told her, I said, if you repent and walk in love with your husband, then we can pray for your child, and the child will get well. Well, we prayed for the children, and 2 of them got healed instantly when we prayed for them. And the other one, it was an internal injury, so you couldn't see it. So they had to go back to the doctor 3 months or 6 months later, whatever it was, to find out how the leg was progressing. When they got there and they x-rayed it, the doctor couldn't believe it was the same leg. He said, this thing is going the other direction. It's getting well. He said, now we can do surgery and it stands a chance of the boy not being in a wheelchair all of his life. He's 10 years old when this happened. How many 10-year-old boys you know that want to be in a wheelchair? Not none. So he begged his mother and dad to let them do the surgery. But the mother and dad says, no, we're going to trust God. We've got to get some more information. So this man worked on staff for another church. So this mother went to the senior pastor of that church and told him the circumstance and says, what do you think we should do? Should we trust God or should we let the doctor do the surgery? And the pastor says, it's not a lack of faith to let the doctors do surgery on your child. That's what God gives us doctors for. She came to me Sunday afternoon And I was over in Dallas in that little warehouse where we had church, and I'm putting out chairs. Over there, I used to have to put chairs out and take them up every Sunday afternoon. Some of you have helped me do that many a time. But I was putting the chairs. She walked up and said, "Thurman, what should I do? Should I trust the Lord for my son's complete healing, or should I go ahead and let the doctor do the surgery on him?" She said, "You never even looked up. You never even took a breath. You just kept putting out chairs." She said, "Don't you trust that doctor. You trust God. Don't you dare let that doctor cut on your son. There's no faith in it when you let him cut on him." Amen. So she said, "That's what I needed to hear." I went home. My husband and I talked about it, and we both decided we would trust God with no doctors. Today that boy's 19 years old and he's walking perfect and he ain't in a wheelchair. Do y'all see what faith is? Without faith, you can't please the King. Is that what he said? You want to see God do something? You're going to have to do something in faith. It's like he says there, if Christ has already redeemed or rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scripture. Don't ever forget that. If it's written in the Scripture, you can take it to the bank. That's the secret of the Word of God. If it's written, you can say, "God, right here, you said." In fact, I had a man here a while back that he said, "I was praying and I said, God, I've got to know why you do so many things for Thurman and I don't see you hardly do anything." He said, "Why is it you answer so many prayers for him?" He said, "I know he's got flaws. I'm around him once in a while. I know he ain't perfect." See, I am not perfect yet. I'm working on it, but I ain't there yet. You know? But he said, "Lord, I want to know why you answer so many of his prayers." And he prayed that prayer several times. And finally, one day the Lord says, "I'll tell you why I answer his prayers. Because he calls me in remembrance of my promises." Amen. That's why I answer his prayers. Hallelujah. That's what we all need to do, right? When you go to the God that we serve for something, you should never go there without Scripture, right? You should say, "Lord, you said right here." And read it to him. Just like right there. "Jesus, you redeemed me from the curse of the law. So if I've got all sins repented of, if I have repented of my sin, then I can come and I can ask you for anything and you will do it for me." And then have no doubt in your heart. I mean none. No doubt that what you ask the King for is going to happen. Because look at what he says in James 1, 6 and 7. Let's go to James 1, 6 and verse 7. Look at this. Somebody will say, "You know, if you'd asked me these questions a few years ago, I'd have said, you know, God would never do us like this." But he does. He'll do exactly to you what he wrote in this book. So if you want to see him do great and wonderful things, you've got to do it his way. Not my way, not your way, but his way. Look what it says in James 1, 6. "But when you ask, be sure that you really expect him to answer." How many of you have been just like me? You went and asked God for something when you really didn't expect an answer. Have you ever prayed like that? Oh, man, I used to be in a Baptist church. I mean, I prayed for lots of people. You know, I mean, I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything else. And, man, I could stand up there on Wednesday night and pray the most awesome, wonderful prayer for all them people that need to be healing. And whenever I got through, you say, "You think God's going to heal any of them people?" I said, "Well, I don't know. It's up to him. So I have no idea what he's going to do." So guess what he never did do for me? Never did do nothing for me. That's just like that night over here that I was at a Wednesday night service when I'd moved to Justin. I was still in the Baptist church. And when I got to church, somebody said, "You know, Daryl has had a kidney stone today, and he is at home. He went to the doctor and found out he had a kidney stone, but he is in very, very pain, much pain. He's really hurting." I thought, "Okay, Lord." The pastor said, "Well, let's all pray for all the people that are sick." And so when it came to my turn to pray, I said, "Lord, you said in Matthew 18, 19 that if two of us on earth agreed about anything, it's done." Is that what he said? Yes. So I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take out Daryl's kidney stone. Let him pass that stone with absolutely no pain whatsoever. And I thank you, Lord, that your word said it. So I guarantee it's done. He's healed in Jesus' name. Now, do you hear a little faith in that?
Yes.
Okay, there's a little faith in that one. Now I'm waiting. I thought, okay, now, like a dummy, I used the prayer of agreement. I got to find somebody to agree with me in that Baptist church. And I'm in trouble. I should have used John 14:12 or 13 or something. But I mean, I know God was doing, I know he's totally in this. Because we get, everybody in church has only probably 25 of us there that night. And 20 or 25. Everybody in church had prayed, and we come to the last man, and nobody has even said anything about my prayer. I thought, oh, Lord, I used the prayer of agreement. I should have known better, Lord. But the last man was a retired preacher. And when he came to me, he said, Lord, I'm going to be in agreement with Thurman about Daryl. I said, praise God. I just couldn't sit there. I said, we got it, Lord. That's done. I know it's done. You know, I mean, the Lord waited till the last man. He's testing me. Do y'all see how God does things? He wouldn't test you, would he? Oh, yes, he will, won't he? Yes, he will. Well, he prayed. I said, that's it. I got it. Praise God. I said, Daryl's going to pass that stone tonight. I know, man, I'm praising God. I come home after church, and I come home. I'm singing, dancing, praising God, and the phone rings. And it was Daryl's wife. Said, Thurman, is Betty at home? And that was my wife. I said, no, she's still at the church. I said, she said, well, I need to talk to her about a wedding or something. And I said, by the way, how's Daryl? Oh, she said, he's laying here in terrible pain. He's in really bad. I said, but Daryl's going to be healed tonight. I guarantee it. He's going to pass that kidney stone. She said, well, I hope so. I said, no, there ain't no hope so about it. I said, I prayed, and one of the other men at church agreed with me. I'm going to guarantee you Daryl's going to pass that kidney stone tonight with no pain. She said, boy, you sure do believe that, don't you? I said, well, it's written in the Word of God. If two of us on earth agree about anything we ask the King for, he'll do it. Is that what he said?
Yes.
See, but you got to believe that with no doubt in your heart. And so anyway, when I hung up the phone, she went on. She said, Daryl, honey, she said, wow, I said, Thurman's on fire. You know, said he said that you're going to pass that stone. He guaranteed you were going to pass that kidney stone tonight with no pain. He said, well, then I'm going to take that little strainer they give me, and I'm going to the bathroom, and I'm going to do it. He went into the bathroom, used that little strainer, and out come that kidney stone and all of his. I mean, in 10 minutes, she called back, Thurman. Daryl's over there saying, thank you, Thurman. Thank you, Thurman. I passed the stone. I said, tell him, don't thank me. I said, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. I just got to pray the prayer of faith. He said, well, he's so happy and all his pain's gone.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we would only believe God, Eldon, what could we get done?
Anything.
That's right. Anything. But when we do something, we got to do it in faith. Y'all see the difference? We come in here, we're prayed for, and nothing happens. It's just like I'm sitting there looking right at Sharon, this beautiful lady in the green dress there. I think about, Sharon, hold your hand up so everybody knows who you are. Most people know who you are anyway. But when Sharon first came to this ministry, she couldn't even drive her own car. She had brain tumors. She had back trouble. She had all kinds of problems. I mean, when she came up for prayer that first Saturday afternoon after a healing school, she said, Pastor, I've never heard this kind of teaching in my life, but I want you to know I've been prayed for at least 100 times or more for my problem with no results. I said, do you ever repent of sin? She said, no. I said, well, what do you not understand about repent of your sin? I said, think back when all this started years ago. I said, how long have you had all this? She said, about 30 years, something like that. I said, go back 30 years and tell what kind of sin did you commit right there? And she knew. And so she repented. I said, now then, Sharon, what scripture did you use to base your faith on? Scripture? We never did use the scripture. I said, and you see what you got? Nothing. I said, so let's take a scripture. So we found a scripture. And we stood on it. I said, now, Sharon, nobody's ever prayed for you in faith. I'm going to pray for you in faith. And I'm going to guarantee you the King of the universe is going to heal you. And I prayed for Sharon that day. And guess who got healed that day? Sharon did. Now, we'll have to say 4 or 5 years later, she's still having a problem with her knees. And one day she just realized, hey, She's been out here working for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I mean, she just, it just hits her one day. I don't have to have this problem with my knees. It was your knees, wasn't it, Sharon? Yeah. She said, I don't have to have this problem with my knees. I'm redeemed from that curse. And she stands on the Word of God all by herself. And guess what instantly happened? Her knees got healed. Now, isn't that amazing? How can we carry those kind of pains and sicknesses for all those years and not get a hold of it when we're teaching and praying for others every day? I won't use that word you used a while ago. We're stupid. Is that what you said? Dumb. That's what it was. Dumb. Yeah, we're dumb. Sometimes I wonder about, now we know why God made us sheep, right? A sheep is the dumbest animal I ever raised in my life. So I know why he calls us sheep. But I think it's time that we get a little brains behind all these sheep, don't you? I mean, we have the mind of Christ. He gave us everything. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're not under it, but we have to do something in faith. But we have been so trained in our life to go by what we feel or what we see. Is that the way we are? You take a person that's got a problem. I don't care what it is, physical. The enemy was very sharp. Satan, Lucifer, told the Lord back in the book of Job, you let me put some hurt on his body, and I will show you he will curse you to your face, because any man will give anything for his flesh. And boy, will we. We'll do anything for this flesh. If you don't believe that, you go look at most girls' little facial kit that they use to do their makeup with. Makeup kit. You don't think girls spend money on their bodies? Just look at their makeup kit. Cheryl said boys spend money on their toys. Yes, I'll have to say, I got more toys. I will have to say, every time when me and Bruce are working together, me and Eldon working together or something, and he said, well, if we had this tool to do this, I said, I got that tool. Or if we just had a plasma torch, I said, I got 3 of them. What? I said, I got toys, boys. Let me tell you, I got toys. I love having toys. I love building things and doing things. And I love having toys. You know, God has been good to me and blessed me with all these toys. We built this church with a lot of my toys, I will have to say. All of us did. We use our welders and our everything. And after Jack Butler allowed me to use his Skytrack to put these big beams up here, I mean, these things were heavy. Me and Eldon, we welded up every one of those things. But when we started to put those things up, they're 60 feet long. And there were hundreds of pounds, all made out of solid steel. Well, I thought that would be a little tough for me to get a whip and have Dave on one side and Eldon on the other while I'm driving them up there to carry those things up there. I thought I'd better get a crane. And so Jack Butler had a great big beautiful Skytrack. So we went and got it and brought it down here. And boy, that thing was wonderful, wasn't it, Eldon?
Awesome.
Awesome piece of equipment. Well, we had it around here for a year before he had to take it to Houston. And after he had to take it somewhere, every time I turned around, I needed a Skytrack. I said, Lord, I got to have another toy. I got to have a Skytrack. And so he provided me with a beautiful Skytrack. And so I have one of my own now. So anytime I need to raise something up, it's absolutely fantastic. But it's one of those toys that I use to build things with. You know? Huh? Oh, it costs more than your makeup kit? Not much more. But a little more. Not much more, I will have to say. I mean, when Cheryl, right after we first got married, somebody broke into the car. I guess they thought, in fact, her purse was in the car too, wasn't it? And she made a mistake, left her purse and her makeup kit laying in the seat of the car. We went in to eat and we come back out. The window was broken out and the makeup kit and the purse was gone. And so I said, no problem, that little old makeup kit, you know, that ain't no problem. You know, I'll just buy you this stuff. So I took her out and she started buying, and I like to have a heart attack. When they said, that's $800 or that's $500, I said, what? Yeah, I couldn't believe this, you know. I just said, everything in that thing should cost $29. You ought to be able to buy it all for $29. But let me tell you, it was a whole lot more expensive than that. So, wow. These girls and their makeup kits are expensive. Not quite as expensive as my toys, but anyway. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive what? Anything? Is that what that said, brother? If you don't have faith, what are you going to get from God according to that verse? Nothing. Now see, he's the one who made the rules. I didn't make the rules, did I? God made the rules. And he said his ways are not my ways. He don't do things like I do things. I got to do something in faith. You know, if I won't, that's just like that time, and some of y'all know about this, some of you don't, but here a few years ago, I prayed for a doctor in Salt Lake City, Utah, that fell out of a tree and crushed his back. I mean, it happened on Tuesday and on Sunday when Eldon called us, and I had the doctor call me about 10 o'clock at night when he finally called. I prayed the prayer of faith for him based around Mark 11:23 and saw God do an instantaneous, complete supernatural healing on that doctor's back over the phone, 1,000 miles away. Now, it takes faith, Bill, to guarantee the man that it's going to happen because it's written in Mark 11:23. But it did. It happened. And God gave the man a brand new back. So then he wanted us to come on out there, so we did. We went out there the next morning. We flew out there and stayed about 3 days in his home. And while we were out there, I found out he was a Mormon at the time. And he wanted to anoint me with oil and pray over me. So I let him anoint me with oil and pray over me. Well, we came back on Wednesday, and on Sunday night, after preaching, just like today, I come home by 11 o'clock, and I was sitting in there at my desk, and all of a sudden my left leg got to bothering me. I thought, what in the world? I reached down, scratched it a couple of times, you know, and that didn't help it. And so I pulled my britches leg up, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, you devil of hell. My leg looked like it was fixing to blood, was fixing to pop out all over the whole leg. So I called Eldon. I said, Eldon, I want you to pray for me. You know when you get into a situation like this, you want to pray for yourself, but you know you want to call people that you know that know how to touch God? Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've got some friend that ain't never seen an answer to prayer in your life or his life, I ain't got time to mess with him. You know, especially if it's my body that has the need. You see where I'm coming from? You know, so I called Eldon. I know Eldon gets lots of prayers answered. And then I called Ty. I know Ty gets lots of prayers answered. I've seen it. And both of them said, well, we're going to come right over. I said, no. That's a long ways over here. Both of them live an hour and a half away, at least. I said, no. You guys don't have to come over. Just pray for me. But neither one of them would take that for an answer. In about an hour and a half, both of them was over here. Of course, on the way over, Ty is praying, asking the Lord, Lord, what did Thurman do to get his leg to break out blood red? What's the problem here? And the Lord spoke to Ty and said, Ty, when you get there, tell Thurman you stopped at a Buddhist temple and you got a bottle of a Buddhist anointing oil and you want to anoint him with that oil. And see what he says. So when Ty walked in, he said, I don't know what this is all about, he said, I stopped at a Buddhist temple and bought some anointing oil and I want to anoint you with that oil from that Buddhist temple. I said, what, are you crazy? He said, did somebody anoint you with oil? I said, yeah. But I said, he was a Mormon. Oh, Ty said, that's a problem. A Mormon anointed you with oil, and it puts you under a curse from God. So he said, you repent. He first looked at my leg, and he took my boot off and my sock off and pulled my britches leg up, and he said, wow, he's a doctor. He says, whew. If I didn't know you were a man of faith, I'd throw you in a car right now. We'd go to the hospital and do surgery on you. But I know you ain't going, are you? I said, that's right. I ain't going. I said, if Jesus ain't big enough to heal me, I said, I'm going to die right here in this room. But I ain't going to no doctor's office and die. He said, Thurman, I never seen anybody with your kind of faith. I said, well, that's just the way it is, Ty. I ain't going. So Eldon anointed me with oil and prayed over me. Now, this is a man of God right here. You know, this man loves the same Jesus I do. He anointed me with oil and prayed over me. Ty anointed me with oil and prayed over me. We spent 2 or 3 hours in my office there. Maybe more. You know, And then I went back there and Ty said, you got to get into bed. Elevate your foot 6 inches. He said, Thurman, what you got, you could die any minute. I said, I ain't going to die till Jesus is through with me. I don't have no problem here. He said, but Thurman, this is life-threatening. I said, only if you're under a curse. And I said, I've repented for all my sins. I said, I'm going to have to go through the consequences. I know I have been chastised by God for doing something that I shouldn't have done. I said, I just saw one of the most awesome miracles. I just prayed for a man that God gave him a brand new back. And because I sinned and let him pray over me, now I come home with a curse on me. But I said, I know I'm going to come through this on the other side. There ain't going to be no problem. He said, you got to get in that bed and stay there. Well, of course, he anointed me with oil. Eldon come in there and anointed me with more oil. And I mean to tell you, by the time they both got through anointing me with oil, I was so slick I couldn't hardly stay in the bed. Them boys wanted me healed. They were praying the prayers of faith for me. I guarantee they were. You need friends like that in those times of need. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you have a need, are you going to go find somebody that knows how to pray the prayer of faith? Or are you going to go down the street and ask your next door neighbor that ain't never seen a prayer answered in their life, maybe not even be a Christian? Are you going to go get them to pray for you? No, absolutely not. That young lady over there shaking her head. No, I ain't going down there. I'm going to find somebody that prays the prayer of faith that can get something done. Is that the people we're looking for? That's exactly what we're looking for. We want men and women of faith. Because God only answers prayers of faith, doesn't he? I am redeemed from the curse. Isn't that something? Once I get rid of my sin, and you know what that sin could be? Unbelief. Do you know? In fact, I'm going to take you to Romans 14:23, where Paul's talking about eating. The whole chapter of Romans 14 is talking about eating. Now, could you possibly eat in sin? Well, let's go look and see what Romans 14:23 says. I assure you that if you can say to... No, that's not it. That's Mark 11:23. Romans 14:23. Okay. But if people have doubts about whether they should eat something, they shouldn't eat it. They would be condemned for not acting in faith before God. If somebody tells you it's wrong to eat shrimp, and you believe that, can you ever eat shrimp? No? If some people tell you can't eat steak, you know, so this meat was sacrificed to an idol. Now that we know we bought that at the market, but it was sacrificed to an idol, and that meat is contaminated, it's condemned, and I don't believe you can eat that meat in faith. And if that's the way the man that invited me over for dinner and says, I bought this in the market and it was sacrificed to an idol and I think it's sin if we eat that, what are you going to do? You ain't going to eat that meat, are you? And you might say, that sure does look like a good steak, so let me throw it, wrap it up in a rag and I'll take it home to my puppy. On the way home, you can eat part of it anyway, right? I mean, you know, you give the dog part of it, but you don't have to throw it all away. Eat some of it yourself, as long as you're not with the man. In other words, why should my faith be judged by what you don't know? See, I'm free in Christ, am I not? Sure I am. I can eat that steak. I can eat that shrimp. You know, I mean, if you say, well, it's going to ruin my faith if you eat that shrimp, then I ain't going to eat the shrimp. I'm going to say, bring me a steak. You know, but I am not going to do anything that will condemn you. But if people have doubts about whether they should eat something, they shouldn't eat it. They would be condemned for not acting in faith before God. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. What's that say? Do what? Anything? In other words, here's the thing about people. People walk down the aisle or you lead them to Jesus or whatever, and they remember that experience and they say, well, I'm saved. But next week, the company they work for, you know, something that they've been taking home with them every week, and so they take that and put it in their pocket and they walk out and they go home. No convictions, no nothing. You get home, you take it out, and you know. I mean, this used to happen at a place I used to work. Steve is here today. He used to work down there with me. But I remember when people used to take whiskey, those little miniature bottles of booze, all kinds of different ones, you know. They sold them on the airplane. I mean, people, they'd start to leave. You know, they'd walk out, they'd just reach over and get three or four or five of them, you know, put in a pocket, you know, put them in this pocket here, you know, fill their pockets up. And some of those people told me they were Christians. And they walk out. In fact, I went to a man's house to witness and to minister to a man. Because when I was at Sky Shift, I saw lots of wonderful things happen. I saw God do lots of wonderful things for people. And so I was asked to come to a house of a man that was sick. And I went over there, and he had a 5-gallon bucket sitting by the table of miniatures he had stolen from Sky Shift. I said, "And you want to know why you're sick?" I said, "You're a thief." And he didn't want to hear that. "That don't make me sick. I got those at work. They owe that to me." No, they don't. They didn't owe them to you. That wasn't yours at all. Those belong to the airline. And if you brought that whole bucket home with you, you're a thief, and God's judging you for being a thief. You say you're a Christian, and you're not a Christian. Either you're not a Christian, or you're so dead to the Spirit. Because if you had anything in there at all, the Holy Spirit would say, "That's stealing. Don't do that." If you're being led by the Spirit at all, you couldn't take a 5-gallon bucket full of them things home with you without the Holy Spirit saying, "Wait a minute. Y'all know where I'm coming from?" God hates stealing. And people wonder why they're sick and afflicted. They just don't understand that you can't steal. In fact, I told one of the men there, in fact, Dan Robertshaw, I'll even tell his name, he was a fine young man. He worked there for years. He may still work there. I don't know. I hadn't heard from him in years. But he had been there for 20 years when I was there. And I was there from about 95 to 2001 for about 6-7 years. And one day, I was talking to the boys about stealing things out of the parts bin. I said, "Now, boys, all these parts here, the company paid for, and they don't belong to you and me." I said, "These parts, spark plugs in the truck shop, or fittings in the plumbing shop, or whatever, I said, those all are bought and paid for by this company, and they don't belong to us. If you take one of them home with you, you're guilty of stealing." One day, Dan Roberts, he had a boat at home and had a brass fitting, a little nipple about that long, that busted, frozen busted. And so he wanted to go to the lake. And so he goes back there to the bin and gets a little brass nipple, you know, puts it in his pocket, don't think nothing about it. Walks out the door, checks out. And when he walks out the front door, there's something said, "Dan, you just stole that nipple." Now, guess who that was telling him that? The Holy Ghost, that's right. That's a good indication that God's really in there. But he went home, and he put it on the boat. And he got it all hooked up and getting ready to go to the lake. And the Holy Spirit so convicted him finally, he says, "Okay, Lord." And he takes it apart, takes it back off, goes down to the hardware store, buys one, puts it on there, comes back Monday morning, puts it in the bin, comes up to my office and said, "Thurman, I hate this." I said, "What do you mean you hate what?" He said, "You know, you've been talking to us about the Holy Spirit will convict us of stealing or whatever." He said, "I have no idea how many times I've taken little things home from this company, and I always justify it. Well, they owe it to me." You know, is that the way we do it? But he said, "This time after you talked to us, when I walked out the door with that in my pocket, something told me I just stole that." He said, "I went home, put it on my boat, and that thought was, every time I look at that, you stole that, you stole that, you stole that." He said, "I couldn't stand it. I finally took it off, went and bought one, put it on there this morning. I brought it back." Said, "The minute I laid it in the bin, I felt comfortable and at ease again." Now, he said, I hate this, he said, "No, I really love it." Because he said, that proves to me, just like you said, I really am a son of God. He's in there convicting me of sin. Now, let me tell you, that's true. God don't want you to sin, does he? Because see, God knows when you sin, you fall from grace and you open the door to the devil. And that devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And people do not understand this. They have no idea, even people in church. You know, I thought yesterday as I watched a little of the thing down at the Houston. Yeah. I thought to myself, about 8,000 people signed up to show up to be there. But boy, when they kept coming in, there was over 30,000 of them showed up. Yeah. Over 30,000 people were there. They had about from 10 o'clock yesterday morning until 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, an all-day fasting and praying and praising and worshiping the King of the universe. And I stand in awe at the number of churches that came against them. Churches. Saying that the governor should not be allowed to have a meeting like this. We had should have total separation of church and state. Let me tell you what. That we have carried that, we have rode that horse to death. And let me tell you what I think. I think that whenever I was a kid, 10, 12 years old, the church ruled everything. There was nothing came out of Hollywood except the church approved it. And about the time I was 12 or 15 years old, somewhere along there, the church started stopping critiquing every movie. And they come out with a movie, I think it was The Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or something, or Gone with the Wind, I think it was. And that's the first time I ever heard a foul word in a movie in my life. One little word today. If I were to say the word damn, most people wouldn't even think nothing about that. But when you hear that on a movie screen, the first time you've ever heard that in your life, everybody in the movie went, oh, a curse word on this movie screen. Well, let me tell you, when we got out of government, look what has happened in 50 years. You can hear or see anything you want to on that television. I guarantee there is no way in the world, I don't care who you are, if you called yourself a Christian and you spend an hour or two a day watching the filth that's on the television screen today, there is no way you're ever going to walk in the power of God. It's going to never happen. You cannot do it. You can't hardly do it watching just a commercial when you're watching the news. I watch 15 or 20 or 30 minutes worth of Channel 4 Fox News. Sometimes I go to Channel 5 too, just to see what the news is talking about. And sometimes there are commercials between things. It's awful. And I think, that's just a commercial. And I'm going to feed that trash into my heart and my mind? No, you cannot. Not you can, but you can't do it and walk in power, in God's power. It's not going to happen. But if you realize that you are redeemed from the curse of the law, God will give you that kind of revelation if you're in His Word. Just like little Jenah. I mean, after I claimed that redemption from the curse, after mother and dad got their sins taken care of, mother was the culprit. When she got through confessing her sin and we prayed the prayer of faith, within days, 2 weeks or whatever it was, little Jenna was completely healed. And when you go out, you look at her pictures on the left side, beautiful little girl. Not a scar or a mark. Isn't she beautiful? Does God do good work, honey? Oh, does He do good work? Wow. I don't know anybody can do that kind of work. Do you? Except Jesus. I ain't never met a doctor can take scars off. Have you? But I have that one. I've seen that doctor take lots of scars off of people. Now then, if Jesus was taught to us from day one, if everybody talked about, I'm redeemed from sin, now I start to say we would get it. But you know, we don't. We do a good job in the Baptist church of teaching you're redeemed from sin, so you're dead to sin. In fact, let's go to Romans 6:1. I think it is 6:1. Romans 6:1. Let's see if that's where I want to go. Yeah. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Once we get saved, let's see what the next verse says. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How many of you know you're dead to sin? I want to see your hand. Do you believe that? If you're dead to sin, then why in this world are you going to go home today and before the day's over get mad at somebody or get angry or do something and sin or tell a lie or whatever? Why are you going to do that if you're dead to sin? Oh, yeah, a demon made you do that, Bill? He probably was there helping you out, that's for sure, guarantee. I mean, I can just see that little critter now. Somebody in business, they call you and they didn't do just exactly what you wanted, and I can just hear him say, Bill, just get him right there, right now. You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah, them little critters, they're really helpful, aren't they? All the time, they're really helpful. Now, I know none of y'all have any help from the little critters except me and Bill. But we'll have to admit we have trouble with them, don't we, Bill? Yeah, that's why you have to stay dead. If you stay dead, how much sin are you going to do? None. Is that where God wants you to stay? Okay, if you can stay dead, no sin, how much sickness is going to have? Zero. Isn't that wonderful? Because not only did he redeem you from the curse of the law, I mean from sin, but he redeemed you from the curse of the law. See, when you, that's just like them two little boys that were standing right here in the last few months. This little boy right here was 13. This little girl right here says she was 12. This little boy right here, he was just about her size and everything, 13 years old, and his eyes had never developed. He could not read those words right there, saved, healed, made whole, delivered. He could not read those words. His retinas had never developed. So I asked his parents, had they committed sin? Did they have sex before they got married? And they did. Now, how many people do you know that do that? Lots of them. Lots of them. Yeah, lots of them. But when God says, especially among my children, there is to be how much sex before you get married? What do y'all not understand about that? I don't understand what we don't understand about that either. The flesh is a pretty powerful beast, isn't he? Yeah, he's pretty powerful. But anyway, they repented. I said, okay, now then, I said, you were under a curse because of your mom and dad's sin. But I said, now then, that mom and dad has repented, Christ has redeemed you from the curse. In other words, once we confess the sin, has Christ redeemed us from the curse? Hey, that's just like sin. Once we confess sin, is the sin gone now? Did he forgive us? Sure he did. Just like he redeemed us from the curse. There's no, both of them are the same. There's no two ways about it. It's a done deal. I said, so now then that Jesus has redeemed you from the curse, son, I'm going to kick those devils out of you. That's messing up your eyes because that's what's in there. We don't understand what demons are. But these little demons are in there messing up his eyes, and so he ain't never going to be able to see. So I command those demons to leave and go to the pit of hell and stay there and never come back in the name of Jesus. How much power and authority do we as sons of God have over the demons of hell? Yeah, that's all. All power is given to, they have to be subject to you and me in the name of Jesus. The scripture, it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. That's why you got to know, remember, it is written. So, we commanded the devil to leave, and then I asked the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Ghost to restore his little eyes and to make them perfect. I said, Lord, thank you for healing that boy. I said, son, do you believe all that? He said, yes, sir. 13 years old. I said, then say, thank you, Jesus. He said, thank you, Jesus. And then he says, wow, Mom. He said, those words just became perfect focus. He could see perfect right there. The little boy was completely instantly healed. Boy, when Jesus shows up and does something, don't we love it when the King shows up? Yes, we love it. Praise God. He's great. And then 2 months later, another 13-year-old, only he's much bigger than this one. This guy was a big boy for 13. He was standing right here, and he had color blindness. He could see black and white, that's all. Born that way. I asked the couple, I said, did y'all have him in wedlock or out of wedlock? They said, well, we didn't have him at all. He's adopted. I said, oh, okay. I said, so how about his parents? They said, well, his parents, they were just two wild kids running around having sex, drinking, drugging, and everything. And she got pregnant, and they had the baby, and then they didn't want him. So they give it to a foster care. And so we are foster care parents, so we took him, and we kept him for a while. We fell in love with the little guy, and so we just decided to adopt him. We wanted him to be our son. So we adopted him. I said, are you two walking in obedience to God's word? Oh, yes, sir. We're going to church. We're tithing. We're doing everything. We're studying the word every day. I said, oh, son, you're in good shape now. You got a set of parents that took you out from under the curse. I said, Jesus redeemed you from the curse. I said, your parents, as long as your real parents are your parents, I said, I can't do nothing for you because you got to be old enough to make sure you're born again, spirit-filled, and you're beyond that part in life. Because I said, as long as you're still under your mom and dad's authority, I can't do nothing for you. But I said, since you're not under their authority, you're under this couple's authority. And now then they're the adoptive parents and they're walking in total obedience to God's word. I said, you're in very good shape today. I said, now then, are you a born again Christian? He said, oh, yes, sir. I said, okay. I said, now then, I'm going to command that spirit to come out of you and go to the pit of hell. And then I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit in there to restore your eyes and make them work perfect in Jesus' name. And I did, and I said, Lord, thank you for healing these little eyes. I said, son, say, thank you, Jesus, that I can see colors. He said, Lord, thank you, I can see colors. Wow! He said, this is awesome. I said, son, what's going on? He said, God is so cool. I said, yes, he's cool. What's going on? He said, I see colors everywhere. He don't know what none of them are, but he sees colors.
Hallelujah.
2 months later, I got a beautiful letter from his mother. That's the most wonderful thing, to be able, after the instantaneous miracle of seeing our son's eyes come back to color, to be able to teach him colors. Because he don't know what color is. Mom, what's those colors and those stripes back there? Well, the dark ones are red and the light ones are white. And the little thing in the corner there, it's got blue on it with white stars on it. Wow, Mom, that's beautiful. Isn't that something? He didn't just know this is burgundy or whatever. What, Mom, what color is this? That's beautiful. Wow. What's that carpet? What color is that? Isn't that amazing? You know, you don't know how lucky you are. You know that? When's the last time you told the Lord, Lord, thank you that I can see colors. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, Lord, that I can see colors. Can you imagine what it would be like if you couldn't? You know, and some of us probably have never thanked the Lord for any of those things. We take it for granted, do we not? Wow. Wow. And look at that scripture in Luke 10, 19, 20. And I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions. You can crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Now, to make that verse work for you, you've got to be walking in obedience to His Word. You can't be living in sin. That's where we get in trouble. You know, here we are lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery or whatever, and we try to cast out a demon. And I'll tell you this last little story and then I'll quit. There was a little girl that had a whole bunch of demons, kind of like the one we had in Silver City, New Mexico. And there was a pastor there that understood how to cast out demons. And so where it took us 7.5 hours to kick those demons out of that girl in Silver City, New Mexico, it took him 3 days to kick them all out of this little 12 or 13-year-old girl. The second day, there was a couple of doctors there, a couple, two, three nurses there, and a couple other preachers there, and then just one man and his wife that knew what they were doing. And so he'd been kicking demons out, and about noon the second day, he became really exhausted. He said, we're going to have to stop and take a break. And one of the other pastors said, that's okay. I've seen you work on this now for 1.5 days. I know how this is done. I will do this. So he looked at the little girl and said, you demons of hell, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. The little girl just turned around like this, just as unconcerned, and looked straight at him and said, you're sleeping with your church secretary. I don't have to do anything you say. Isn't that something? You're sleeping with your church secretary. I don't have to do anything you say. Do you think those guys know what we do? Huh? Yeah, absolutely they know what we do, yes. If you start casting out demons, you better make sure your life is clean. If you want to get healed, you better make sure your life is clean. Because you got to repent of sin first. Now then they're going back to get communion. We're going to take communion. We always take it the first Sunday of every month. Isn't that a wonderful scripture right there? Luke 10, 19 and 20. If you've got every sin repented of, how much authority and power do you have over the devil and his demons? Isn't that wonderful? You can tell a demon what to do and he has to do it. I mean, you know, they'll put you to the test, Betty. You know, you start trying to kick one of them out one day, and he'll do like that one did to me out there. Just spit all over me and come, you know. Isn't that something? We're not coming out of her. We have legal right to be here. That was a very interesting day. It was only 2,823 demons in that little girl. Before the 7.5 hours was up, we got every one of them out of her. Got her totally delivered. 2,823 demons. Wow. All of her pains and symptoms and everything went away. Okay, let's come forward and bring forth the juice and the bread. You'll notice we use unleavened bread. It has no sin in it because our King had no sin in Him. He was sinless. And I got news for us. He expects us to be sinless. Now then, if we could walk sinless like He did, that would be a wonderful place to walk, wouldn't it? Well, that's my goal. Is that your goal?
Amen.
Yeah, that's my goal. That should be your goal. We want to walk holy and obedient to His Word. So when we ask Him for something, He always shows up. We love it when God answers our prayer. Don't we, honey? Absolutely. Yes, we love it when God answers our prayers. He does not hear the prayer of a sinner. So you got to make sure you have confessed your sin. Now, here's the thing. When you confess your sin, how many times do you have to confess your sin? Only one time. You know, if you do something wrong, you don't have to confess it 5 or 10 times. Because if you do, that means you didn't believe He forgave you the first time. I know how we are, those human beings. We think, oh, God, I've done something so awful. Oh, I was so terrible, Lord. I did that. Please forgive me. Oh, the 30 minutes later said, oh, God, I know that was so awful. Will you please forgive me? He says, what are you talking about? He said, I washed you clean the first time you asked. Yes, brother.
How many days before you left here?
About a week. Yeah, about a week. Nothing. I mean, after a couple of days laying back here on the bed with my foot elevated, I said, this is nonsense. I got up and went to work. Ty said, Thurman, you got to stay down. I said, Ty, I ain't staying down. I'm getting up and going. He said, but you could die. I said, I ain't dying until Jesus says it's ready for me to die. When the King says it's ready for me to come home, what can save me? Nothing. When the Lord says, that's it, son, I'm through with you on earth, He's in control. When He says, come to the house, guess what? I'm going to the house. You know? But between now and then, I'm going to walk in total faith. I don't care what happens to me. That's just like the time, that same leg, when I fell through that hole that time and ripped all that skin off, plumb to the bone. That took 3 months for that to heal. All I did is put a sickless bandage around it every day. But I never did anything. I had several things that have happened to me. And when they say you got to have a skin graft or whatever, you know, but the one in my leg, I didn't even go to a doctor. By this time, I quit going to doctors, you know. I mean, way back under 15 years ago, when I'd get cut or tore up or something, I'd at least go and let a doctor look at it and maybe sew it up or whatever. But now then, if I get a finger ripped open or something, I just get a Band-Aid and put it around and say, praise God, it's healed, and go back to work. Yeah.
I like the one about the ants.
Yeah, that happened right down here in the pasture. I was instantly healed that day, brother. Did Jesus say that no deadly poison will hurt me? When you claim that by faith, does the King show up?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes, He sure does. He always shows up when you do something by faith. If you don't do it in faith, He don't show up. Wow, are we grateful? Lord, I'm so grateful that You sent Your Son to this earth 2,000 years ago to become a man, to walk holy in obedience to You for about 33 years. So that we could see what a man should be able to do on this earth. A real man. Lord, You were giving us an example of what we as Your sons and daughters can do today. But You showed us. Now, Lord, I thank You that by partaking this bread, we're taking Your body into our body and we're becoming one with You. We are Your children. And this body, this piece of bread is Your body, and we're putting it in ours because we are your body on this earth. And so we eat the bread. Amen. The most powerful thing in the universe, the blood. The blood is still cleansing us from all sin. It has cleansed us of past, present, and future sins. After we got saved, all we got to do is ask. And when we ask, the blood is there to wash us clean. If you don't ask, you don't get washed. You'll get judged. How many of you want God to judge you? I don't want Him to judge me, do you? I had much rather say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. Forgive me. And when I do, the blood washes me clean again. Now, I don't have to undergo judgment. In other words, I don't have to be sick. Nobody likes being sick, do they? It ain't no fun. It ain't no fun. But I'll tell you for sure, if you don't obey Him, it'll make you sick. I think about how powerful the blood is. When I first started learning these things, I was at work at Sky Shift. That's where I was working at the time. I was really learning these things back about 95. I'd been learning them for several years, but Jimmy, a young boy that worked for me down in the truck shop, very nice young boy, he promised to do something for me, and he'd been very, very busy. So I'm sitting in my office meditating on all these things that God said in His Word. I thought, Lord, forgive me, but I've got to do a test to see if this is really works or not. I mean, I read it in the Word, but is it really true? So I get up and I go down to Jimmy's office and I said, Jim, I said, did you finish that project I asked you to finish? He said, no, sir, Mr. Scrivener, I haven't had time. I've been so busy. And so I got really rough with him. I said, Jimmy, I told you I wanted that done. I want it done. I want you to stop whatever you're doing. I want that done right this minute. Do you hear me? He said, but sir, I said, don't give me no back talk. Just do what I tell you. And about that time, and the guy sitting there he was dealing with, he said, sir, don't be so hard on him. I said, you be quiet. This doesn't pertain to you. Do you hear me getting out of love? Oh, yeah, I stepped out of love big time. But it was on purpose. I walked out of Jimmy's office and didn't get to the top of the stairs till my head started stopping up. I began to rebuke the devil, command him to leave. And guess who didn't go away? He didn't go away. I got to my office, I could hardly breathe. I said, okay, Lord, this really works. I said, Lord, I repent. I turned around, run right back down there and said, Jimmy, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? He said, well, I ought not to, but he said, I know I have to. And then I said, what was that guy's number? What was that guy's name that was here? And he said, well, this is his card. So I went up to my office and called him. I said, sir, I want to apologize for being stern with you a while ago. He said, well, I've had two lessons today. I've never seen anybody get that stern with anybody. I've never seen anybody repent that quick. I said, am I forgiven? He said, of course. So then I turned and said, you devil of hell, I command you to leave me now in the name of Jesus. And guess what happened? Instantly happened. My head cleared right up. Isn't that amazing? This really works. You know it does, don't you, brother? You've seen it with your daughter. You know it really works. How strong is the blood? The greatest thing in the universe. All you've got to do is apply it by faith. Is that right? By faith. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Sometimes you just have to test things. It's kind of dangerous. But sometimes you just have to do it.
Scary thing is people live in sin because they don't understand.
I know.
Paul said that some sleep in the church because of that.
Yeah. Wow, the Word of God. It's awesome, isn't it? If we could only get a hold of what God has done for every one of us. It's already done. Salvation belongs to the whole world. And they won't believe it. Healing belongs to the whole church. And we won't believe it either. Isn't that something? In fact, Kim and Scott have told me several times that before they learned this a few years ago, they used to be in and out of the doctor's office all the time with either one of them or their children. But now that they've learned how to pray for each other, y'all don't ever go to a doctor no more, do you, Kim? Not at all. Prayer. Isn't that amazing what we can pray for? What can we pray for? Anything. In everything. And then don't forget when you pray, don't forget to give thanks. Don't forget to say, thank you, Jesus. That's the secret. You might want him to do something for you again one day. So don't forget to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for your word that tells us who we are and what we can do in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I praise you and thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding you give us from the word. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the salvations. Thank you for the 30,000 men and women that came to Reliance Stadium yesterday. And then thank you for the other 100 and whatever, 30 or 40, 50,000 that was listening to you on the internet and whatever. I know I was, and Cheryl and I, we listened on the internet. We didn't make the trip down there, but we listened part of it. And we fasted and prayed yesterday with you. I woke up yesterday morning, 6 o'clock, praying and asking you to do great and mighty things. All day long, we prayed and fasted, and I believe you're going to do great and wonderful things. Lord, send us more men that are not afraid to call on the name of Jesus like Rick Perry. Well, we need a lot of politicians that will not be afraid to use the name of Jesus, that will go and pray before we do things and ask for wisdom and knowledge, because for the first 150 years, that's the way we did it, and we had a blessed nation. In the last 50, we got completely away from you, and then, Lord, we have really got a lousy mess now. And Lord, I know you're judging this world, and I know we ain't seen nothing compared to what's fixing to happen. When the economic crisis blows up in the next few weeks or few months, it's going to be awful. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. For those of us that are your obedient children, you're going to bless us and watch over us and protect us. We're not going to be devastated by the terrible things that are happening all around us right now. I praise you, Lord, for being our God. And I praise you for these promises. And Lord, as we go out this week, may your Holy Spirit direct us, each one of us, guide us, use us for your glory, to win people into the kingdom of God, to get people saved, delivered, and healed. And I give you all the praise and glory, because I know it's not about us, it's about you and your kingdom. So Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.